thank you, Pastor. It's good to
see you. You have a good pastor, and so I enjoy him. We have good time. We try to find each other sometimes, and he tries to hide himself from me, but I end up finding him anyway, so that's a good thing. And I'm so grateful for what God is doing. Well, for those who are not here during Sunday school time, we really want to encourage you to be able to not only have our prayer cards that are out there, each one of us, you can pick a prayer card. There's some information you would like to know about Kenya, a little bit, a small pamphlet, and that can help you read a little bit about it. Please, they are for you. Pick their bookmarks that you can use as well, and pray for us. And as we look forward for serving the Lord and reaching out to people around our lives. But before we open the Word of God, we have a four-minute video that will summarize our ministry, and I want to be an encouragement to all of us to go through. I hope they are getting it ready, and then we can go into the Word of God. So please be encouraged when you are ready. Are you ready? When you are, please let it go.
Paul stated in 1 Timothy 1:12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." We are the Muindi family, serving missionaries with Baptist Missions to the beautiful country of Kenya in the continent of Africa. Has truly given us opportunities to communicate the Word of God in preaching and teaching, training leaders and ministry servants, counseling and discipling others for ministry. We truly count God's call to ministry as a honorable privilege with great responsibility. With God's help, we have been part of the establishment of Elgonville Baptist Church in Eldoret, Kenya. We have seen the church move from a house Bible study to an organized body of believers called the church. Sunday school kids are growing physically and much more spiritually with well-trained teachers than ever before. Three men have graduated from Bible Institute under our training. Different ministry groups have demonstrated vibrance due to maturity in ministry. In children ministry, we have several able teachers who serve. In the youth ministry, we've been able to see young people reaching out to others in different institutions. And our men and ladies ministries have demonstrated growth by taking responsibilities in various ministries. We truly thank God for His goodness in the ministry. We have been able to work on a church building project that shows the physical development of the work at Elgonville Baptist Church. We thank God for the financial support given and the faithful giving of the church members. As the church continues to grow and mature, biblical fellowships and observation of ordinances are evidence of God's work in the hearts of men and women in Kenya. We do take every opportunity to communicate God's word. Whether in season or out of season, we have been able to use local radio station, funerals, weddings, hospital visits, house-to-house visitation, and many others to reach out to our communities. We count your support as the right hand of fellowship in ministry. We invite you to participate in our ministry as God gives you the means and the opportunity. Thank you for giving us the right hand of fellowship. We count your short-term mission as a means of accountability to each other. Your visit to Kenya is one of the most welcome endeavors in our ministry. We count our furlough seriously as a time of praises and prayers, as we all together worship God. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
Thank you very much. I hope that was helpful. If you are not here during morning, Sunday school time, be encouraged with that. And please know that we are inviting you. We welcome you to Kenya. And I think you're ready. I see the deacons are saying we are voting to send you out to Kenya. So we appreciate that. And if you truly come, we would love to be able to involve you in the ministry God has given to us. Every time we have people, we've involved them, and they've done wonderful things. Ankeny Baptist Church have been able to be part of our groundbreaking during the building project, and also several other times they've come. We've had a pastor from Duluth, some ladies from Avondale have been able to come and spend a whole month, two ladies, Grandma Karen and Sherry, were able to spend great time with us. And then people from Ohio have been able to come, and Florida. So again, you have an opportunity to come and be part of what God is doing in Africa, particularly in Kenya. And there's no greater joy than to be able to see souls come to Christ and having been part of that work. My brothers here and family, when they go to their former fields, definitely so joy to see people whom you led to the Lord now doing great work, pastoring and teaching. And it really brings delight in your life. And you know, you're ready to praise the Lord for what he's done. And so we thank the Lord for that. Pray for us that the Lord would lead our path in the next couple of months to finish up strongly. He's been weary. Edna is not feeling very well under the weather too. So she's not able to talk so much, and so please pray for her. She gets weary and taking care of kids and also traveling with me. That's not an easy thing. You know, when you think of our spouses and the things they do behind the scene, it's not an easy work. And so appreciate them. We really do appreciate our wives, and I hope as churches also appreciate your missionaries' spouses. As they serve the Lord, there are many things. My first Sunday school teacher, you know what happens? Who do I turn to when I have these 2, 3, 4, 5 kids come to church? I just say, honey, would you please teach the kids? You know, and I'm very certain that most missionaries will do the same. Pastors do the same. Let me tell you, they look at their spouses as like, can you help with the Sunday school before we get a teacher? And so they do a lot of things behind the scene that probably sometimes we don't put them on the table and say, this is what is demanded of us. But we praise the Lord for his goodness, and he continues to build his church. So pray that we'll be able to finalize that building and also continue training men and women for service and ministry as we move to other places that God is leading, and see this man trained, called of God, not just being trained. Sometimes people go through training, but they don't have the true call of God into ministry. You know, you don't want somebody doing something when they face challenges like, I give up. But they have to really be called of God and sense that working of God in their own lives. Now, turn with me this morning, please, to the book of Joshua, if you may. The book of Joshua, we'll be looking at chapter 23 and 24, partly. And I believe that this will be a great blessing. You and I, probably as we come close to the end of the year, we should be able to look at ourselves, look at our past, and determine what the future might be for us. I know for myself, as we finalize our follow, we are thinking, okay, in the next couple of months, we'll be going back. Next 6 months, we'll be going back. What are the priorities? What are the things we want to accomplish? And we look back on what we had accomplished in the previous years and see probably some failures that we failed. Probably some trust that we trusted people that probably did not do what we expected them to do. And you know, you assess yourself. And then you're saying, probably this time I might do something differently. Or I might do a certain study that I want to communicate with my students more in these areas. Or deal with the society in a different way. And there are many things you look back. And then you're determining, what will I do? I'm very sure at the beginning of this year, some of us made those resolutions of what we are going to do this year. Isn't that right? Now, if we are very sincere, we can tell ourselves or say that probably I did not accomplish the things I listed down. Did we all accomplish all that we listed down? Maybe not. And you know, or some... totally we were changed in the process of our lives, and totally we accomplished nothing on the list. And we did some things we did not expect to have had them on the list. When I read the book of Joshua, and particularly towards the end, and you see the history and the working of Joshua and the nation of Israel, you see a lot of times that the nation had to stop and reassess themselves. Re-examine their lives, make a recommitment to the Lord, their relation with God again. When Joshua was called in Joshua 1, Moses had just died. The nation had been mourning. It was painful. And now getting a new leader and with fear and trembling and struggles in their own lives, and God gives that assurance, I am with you. I am with you. Now I can imagine, let me use another illustration too to help here. If my son is on top of a building, probably close, not too high, and I say, jump, I'll hold you. They'll probably jump because they trust me. But if a stranger says, jump, jump, or they look down, is another young little kid that they know when they fall on them, it might not be safe. I say, jump! Now, it's interesting to me when I watch even little kids, even small ones, the toddlers, they just started working. Tell them to move from this step to the other. They'll stand here for a long time, and you're looking at them, you know they have a problem. And they don't, I mean, they cannot communicate. But they have to figure out that they cannot move their foot down to the next step. But what happens? They go down and then they start crawling, probably putting their foot on the side and start moving down. You ask yourself, where did they learn that? Have you looked at that? So trust, recommitting ourselves and identifying where we've been, where we are, and where we headed to. What God has done in the past. And is that faith that we've had on whom we trust something that we should hold on even in the days to come with uncertainty? Now in chapter 23, when Joshua gives his farewell, he begins by saying in verse 1, now it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called all the Israelites for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, I am old and advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your mighty works. And so we ask even today in our own lives that God, we should be able to look at what you've done and examine our own lives for your glory. Teach us your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here Joshua begins by calling the people, the leaders, and saying, hey, come on, I'm an old man. And probably look back, remember when I was a young man, the things that God used me. You can look back the time that Moses said, hey, Joshua, Caleb, and the other 10, go into this promised land and examine it. Come with a good report. And so they came with that report. He sees that time of transition of leadership to him. And he took all these people all through, captured the nation, and made sure that every nation have a place. Remember the promise made in chapter 1? That through you, every person, every nation, every group will have their possessions. It is the success that God had given to Joshua was not success of having mighty things or having land and having property and money and all that and wealth. But it was really the success was to accomplish the purpose of settling the nation where God wanted them. That's why sometimes we need to really understand the definition of success biblically. The success of your life or my life as a missionary is to go to that field and you be used of God to establish his church, see leaders, see men and women and children come to know Christ. That is success. I don't have to be a wealthy man. I don't have to be a great man in a country, but accomplishing what God expects of me. You are a successful man as a farmer who farms well and trusts God in your farming work, and you accomplish that and you sell your produce and you reach out to people for Christ even in the field that God has put you. You're a successful man, a woman in what God and where God has placed you. And Joshua would probably examine all that and go through all this history. And that's why you see that phrase where he says in verses 3, he says, you have seen all that the Lord your God has done. Not only to these nations, but to you. Oh, we beat the Amorites? Did we conquer the Canaanites? I can't believe that we have homes now. We have farms. We look back several years ago, 2 years, 3 years ago, we were in the wilderness crying for food, crying for water. But now we have a place of settlement. We have homes. And he said, because of you, all this was done by God. Why? Because of you. There are many things in your own life that I hope when you sit down and see the activities that God has done, even here in Iowa, even where there's no hills and good vicinities to go and visit, and you plan to go to Colorado or Montana or go somewhere else, guess what? You end up going home, which is Iowa. Is that right? And so you look at that and say, thank you, God, for a home. Thank you for these fields that I go and look all around. For us, even this year, we are saying, thank you, there's no much snow on the roads. I mean, you know, getting out very early in the morning, clearing your driveway is not that easy. It's good work. Particularly when you are from Kenya. You need people to help you, some of this. And I know you want a lot of snow on the ground. And we'll maybe when God allows us to, gives us those gifts to say, let mine have no snow, but my neighbor can have their snow. That might help, but it's his will. But again, it is really looking at what God is telling us here. All that God has done, the jobs we have, God has given us for our sake, for his glory. The family you have is God's gift for your sake, for his glory. Think of your spouse. I mean, did you grow up in the same home? Different blood, different culture, different lifestyle. I like introducing, saying that when I counsel newly married, from different cultures in Africa, Kenya, we have 43 tribes. And some tribe have different way of living and you have different way of living. But you love one another. There are things you're saying, with my culture I have to put away. Mine I have to put away. And you start walking together to form your family. There are traditions you give up and you begin your own traditions. Some you might copy from the past. But again, here the word of God reminds us, God has done all these things for us. He says, for the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. It's God who has made things be what it is. He's the one who is fighting for you. He's the one who is leading in the areas that you're going into. So really, when we are examining ourselves, as that is what I want you to capture today, the first thing we have to understand is God's work. God is at work in our lives. Every moment, God is working. And we should be able to see the working of God around us and say, God, thank you. I really appreciate that you're working. You're bending of my life. You're directing of my ways. If you were to ask Israelites how long it would take them across from Egypt to Canaan, the promised land, they'll tell you, well, in 40 days or less, we should be there. If possible, even faster. But God looks at that and said, okay, because of your disobedience, it's 40 years. Some of us might think, I want to accomplish certain things in the next 3 years. I want to be this kind of a person. I want to be here. I want to have this in the next 5 years or 10 years. And God will look at you and sometimes he says, you'll have that when you are 59. And you don't know why. You'll be struggling for it and you don't get it and you don't know why. And then when that time comes, God says, you can have it now. There are things we go through that we only have to turn to God and say, God, you're sovereign and your working is good enough for me. The second thing that we need to understand in examining our lives is what comes in verse 4 onward. He says this, see, I have divided to you by lots those of these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great west, sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and divide them out of your sight, so you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. And that is understanding God's promise. God had made his promise. From the covenant he made with Abraham to inherit the land. He reaffirmed that promise with Isaac and Jacob. And he continued even with Moses that the land I promised my people, I will keep my covenant. Now, dear ones, this morning I want you to think about yourself and the promises God has given to us. And know that God keeps his promise. The promise he had made to the nation of Israel, Joshua is saying, look at what God has done. Not only the wonders by fighting for us, the great thing God has done in the past and all through to where we are today, but he is accomplishing his promise that he had made to us. As God had made a promise, it is accomplished today in our own lives. So he says in that verse 5 again to just remind you, and that the Lord your God will expel all these nations that are before you, you can imagine, and drive them out of your sight. For what reason? Because God is accomplishing what he has mentioned, so you shall possess their land as the Lord your God had made that promise. The promises of God will come to pass. In Isaiah 55, remember, he says that the word of God will not go forth and return to him in vain. is not coming back to him void. It accomplishes the purposes that God intended for it to. And so as God has made that promise to us, he's keeping with us. He's given us an endowment of the Holy Spirit to live in us, to walk in us, to direct our path. As we seek the will of God, God will bring that promise to a completion in our own lives. Sometimes we forget the good things that God has done. We forget the promise of the presence of God when he says, I am with you always to the end. You pause a minute and say, suppose God doesn't keep his promise. Then he's man. He's just like anybody else who makes promises that are never accomplished. Why would I believe in such a God? Why would I worship such a God? But God has kept his promise. The promise he gave about the death, the birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, was it not accomplished? And we celebrated a couple of days ago. It's a reality. The impact that when we put our faith in that Son of God, the sinless God-man, who became man to take our place at Calvary, we truly have our sins forgiven. That Jesus Christ is coming back again for us. He's prepared a place for us. And he's coming again. That promise is true and real. So you need to examine your life as you look back, as you look at the promises of God, and ask yourself about your future. Because your relationship with God determines how your future will be spent. The mistake you make in your teen life, in your young age, very hard to change them when you're an old man. So that foundation that you lay today will become a profitable time in your old age to look back and say, thank you, God, for the right decision that I made in my life to be where I am. I look at the young people. You don't know whom you're going to marry. But I want to challenge you, start praying about that. And say, God, help me. Lead my way. Lead my steps. Bring the right friends, the right man, the right woman, the God you want me to have the rest of my life. That will not be my mother. It will not be my sister, my brother. These are different people from different places. And I don't even know them. Please help me. So that when you are 99 years old, like many of us here, if some will be rich there, and you are able to look back and say, thank you, God, for my wonderful spouse, godly woman, godly man, who have stood for the truth and the life that is pleasing to you. Your heritage is so important. And so I want to challenge you that remember God's work, God's promise that God has made. He reaffirms those things with three important things here. He says, one, because of that, I want you to have this. Therefore, in verse 6, therefore be courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, or lest you go among these nations. These who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. The first thing is to be courageous. Even as you enter into the new year, be courageous. By knowing God's work, God's promises are with me. His presence and his guidance in my life is sufficient. Be courageous. He says, but understand, even as being courageous, there are things you shouldn't do. One is to bow down to idolatry. Your relationship with ungodliness, ungodly people. You must make sure you don't
play God, he says. And he helps us to understand that being courageous, we must understand. He says, lest you turn aside from the word of God, the laws of Moses. Doesn't that remind you of what God told him in Joshua 1? When he's reminded and told, keep the law that Moses had given to you. Do not turn to the left or to the right. Stick to the word of God. Understand the difference between a godly man and godly. Psalms tells us, blessed is a man who works in the ways of righteousness. Psalms 1. That man who separates himself from ungodly relationship, men who are ungodly. And so unless we understand the will of God, the call of God, he says to us, we are able to walk courageously. Then in verses 8 he said, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God, who fights for you as he promises you. Again, hold fast to the Lord. Not only do you hold to his word, but hold to the Lord. 2019, you'll face challenges. We'll face challenges. Or you guys, do you think you're done? Are things done? You have life to live. You have people. You still have neighbors. You have children still. You work in a place. And you have people. You're in Iowa. And there'll be some storms and winds and all that kind of thing that you expect every year. We don't know whether we'll have enough rains or droughts or what. We don't know. You live in America. Politics are 24/7. Changes happen day and night, anything. But the moment you put your faith in someone or something, you fail. But he says, hold on God. Stay faithful to the one who has called you. The one who is with you when everyone else turns away. The one who keeps promises. Hold on him. I hope we'll always put our faith in him and always trust God to work in every situation. Some things happen to teach us, to help us understand that when we turn too much to the left, we fail. But at the same time, understanding that we need to reach out to people. Being in a society that's ungodly means that we need to reach out to people. Let me challenge you. Many of us, you know, we move from city to city sometimes, and you're moving to Slater, and somebody asks you, where is the best place to buy a home in Slater? Do you have a best place to buy a home in Slater? And others you don't have, you know, they are not good places. Maybe not. But some people say, well, I'm moving to Chicago. Which suburb should I move to? Or Des Moines? Which suburb should I move to? Which area? You know, all that. But let me ask you, as a pastor, as a preacher, where should I go? Should I go to an area where there are godly people? Then what do I do? When do I reach to people? Ask God to lead you. God might want you to go that worst places so that you become that testimony and establish the work of Christ there. And so sometimes we struggle balancing up the will of God and our desires. Sometimes what we desire becomes the motivation of our lives, and we forget, what does God want of me? And here we are encouraged to hold fast to the Lord in our lives. And then thirdly, he says in verses 11, therefore, take careful heed to yourself that you love the Lord your God. Isn't that an important thing in your life and mine? In other words, pause occasionally and examine your heart. And think again about that relationship. Think again about yourself. Have I stepped aside? Have I moved a little bit away from what I should be doing? You know, many things come around our lives and we feel discouraged. And you feel, I'm not going to do that. But when you think again about your life, you take heed of yourself. The same statement that Jude uses in verses, I think, 23. And he says, take heed of yourself. Understanding who we are. And looking at ourselves. And saying, am I on the right track? Am I running the right race? Am I accomplishing what God expects of me? Am I the testimony of Christ the way God expects of me? And I think that is very important to us, to take heed of our lives and re-examine ourselves. So remember, even as you examine your own life at the end of this year, going into the next year, remember God's work, remember God's promise. But I want to remind you something also that Joshua reminds the people, which is in verses 14. He says, behold, this day I'm going away of all to the earth. In other words, I'm dying. And you know in all your hearts and in your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have been accomplished. And all come to pass for you. Not one word of them shall fail. Verse 15. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he had destroyed you from his good land, which the Lord your God had promised to have given you. In other words, God's anger will be upon you the moment you turn away from the truth. God's wrath, God's judgment. Let's not forget that even as believers, God's chastisement will be with us. The moment we walk into ungodly ways and godly lives and relationships, there are consequences of our lives. So then don't lie to ourselves that in 2019, by choosing to live our lives the way we want and refusing to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God talking to us through His Word, God is not going to see that and come along and say, hey, something is not right with you. He loves us, as He mentioned in Hebrews 12. Those that the Lord loves, He chastises. He reaches out. We punish our kids sometimes, don't we? When they mess. Not because we hate them, because we love them. I remember my kids, when we sit now and talk, I always say, you know, the difficult time of our lives is when you shut us down and say, now I'm going to punish you for this. And then you say you love us. We cannot combine love with the punishment. We cannot put this together. But we understand now what it means. And that's the thing. When you are going through a difficult time, you don't understand. Sometimes you might question God. But you see, we don't look at it from the perspective of some things that we made, the choices we made, the wrong things that we've accomplished in our own lives. And God is coming along saying, you need to stop this. And working in our own lives to adjust our lives. There are many things that are mystery to us. And we don't even understand. For example, when the word of the Lord talks about the Lord's table, and it says in Corinthians 11, that some have died, are asleep because of the Lord's table. We don't understand, do we? So even sometimes there are people who just die and we just mourn for them, but we don't know the reason why they died. Maybe because of their disobedience before God. God have warned them again and again, and it's like, to stop this, just get rid of this person. Again, we need to understand that there's mystery of life, that we need to yield to God all the time. And finally, just to crown it all, in chapter 24, you know what Joshua ended up saying in his farewell and coming to the comments at the end? So when he mentions and says, you people have to make a choice. I've made my choice in my life with my family. And he says in verses 24, and the people say to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made for them a statute, an ordinance in Shechem, which was to be a reminder to them of that commitment to the relationship with God, of keeping God's law and serving God in his sanctuary. But remember that promise that he had made before? When Joshua said, you must make that decision in your own life. When he said, you choose whether you serve the gods or on the other side, the gods of the Amorites, you want to serve the gods of the Canaanites, you can choose. But he says, but for me, Joshua said, I'll serve the Lord. I will hold to my God. Remember, he's an old man. He's coming to death. But he says, I'll hold to my God. What about you this morning? Do you understand the working of God in your life since you were born? All that God has orchestrated in your own life to be who you are today and where you are. Do you appreciate the working of God? Do you see God accomplishing his promises in your life? Do you look back and say, God, thank you, I appreciate that. God has given us his word here. And he challenges us to hold on him. Don't turn away from the word of God, even in the coming year. He challenges us. Even when we have different gods presented to us from all over the world, cling to your God. Because he's a God who keeps promises. He's God who has given us hope. He's God who forgives our sins. He's God who's coming back again for us. He's concerned about our lives on a daily basis. And I want to challenge you this morning. Cling on him. As you examine your life, I hope you make that decision that, God, I want to end this year well and begin well. And God will be glorified in my life even in 2019. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for working in our own lives. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. We know that, God, no one can stand before you in our sinful nature. But, God, because of the righteousness of your Son who died at the cross of Calvary for us, he took our place so that we can have our sins forgiven. Lord, help us to examine our lives. Help us, Lord, to look into our inner being and examine our relationship with you. That, God, we can bend our knees and worship you in truth and in spirit. That, God, we would dedicate our lives to serve you as the nation of Israel did. That they will be faithful to you, Lord, and let this be true in our own hearts. Continue praying for yourself, please. Maybe the Lord has walked and talked to your heart as the Spirit of God, leading us in the Word. And you're here, you know for sure that there are things that I need to think through in my own lives, that I need to examine my own life and change things and repent of my sins and maybe rededicate my life to Christ and know that, God, is true to my life and His promises are true. God has spoken to your heart this morning. I pray that take time to just pray to God and give God glory. And just take time to repent and end the year well and begin a new year with Him. Hold on Him because He's a hope. Maybe you're here, you are not saved. It's my prayer that you make that relationship with Christ straight today. Do not go home without doing that. Please take a time to repent and just to ask Christ to come into your life. Have that relationship with Him. Put your faith in Him. You become a child of God. He says those who call on Him, He's given them the power to become the children of God. And so you can become a child of God even today. Want to praise the Lord for that. Father, we thank you for who you are, and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.